anniversary party or a graduation party or a bridal shower or a wedding reception or a baby shower or even a retirement party thrown in your honor. Have you ever had that happen? Some might have, some may not have, but if you had any of these thrown in your honor, if you ponder about it, everyone that attended came for you. That's a pretty big thought, don't you think? Especially as busy as our society is, someone or several someones took time out of their busy schedule to come to your shindig and to honor you and to remember you, right? That's quite a blessing for someone to do that. And that's nice to think about. But you know, a much more mind-blowing thought is that the Son of God, Jesus, came to this earth for us. I mean, on our behalf. He didn't have to do it, but he came down to this world, and I could kind of see it if he was coming to a palace and to be pampered. But Jesus didn't come to a palace to be pampered. He was born in a stable, placed in a manger, and lived a life that most people never understood. I mean, it was like, wow, you know, we're going to be against you. And religious leaders tried to trick him and tried to trap him and all kind of things. And then eventually, you know, the death that he suffered. But he did that for us. He did that for us. Romans 5:8 says, but God commendeth. That means demonstrates or showed his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, while we were still sinners, it says Christ died for us. What an amazing thought. Tonight, part three of Jesus came for the lost. Jesus came for the lost. We're going to review that. I mentioned this morning, I don't remember ever preaching a series of messages, pure salvation message. Tonight is a pure salvation message. And this will be the third and probably the last in the series, depending on how fast I talk tonight. But I don't think in my quite a few years of ministry now, I don't think I've ever preached actually a series. Now, I preached a lot on salvation. And you know that typically, even if it's a message totally to the saved almost, at the end, I like to encourage people to be saved and come forward and respond. I think that's important. That's the message of the church. But to have a whole series is kind of new for me. But I'm convinced by the time I stand behind this podium or pulpit, that it's what God has for us. And that's what he wants for his people tonight here at Oakmount. Jesus came for the lost. And I encourage you, you say, well, I'm not lost. I know Jesus. Well, praise the Lord. You can just rejoice in the fact that you know Jesus. And a lot of the topics we're going to cover tonight really are a huge blessing to us. Because once a person is lost and gets saved, these blessings are what we're going to talk about. So tonight, probably even more so than the other two, really applies to Christians a lot too, because of the blessings we have through the Lord Jesus. Jesus came for the lost. First of all, Jesus came to seek the lost. The Bible says in Luke 19:10, actually in the very words of Jesus, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. So if you're here tonight, or hey, I can say this, or if you're listening in by live stream, because it's working tonight, I don't think you're listening by accident. I believe God is seeking your heart, seeking your soul, because that's the reason he came to this world, was to seek those that were lost. So it's kind of like when you lose something, don't you hate it? I hate losing something. I think the older I get, the more I hate it. I do a lot of praying, Lord, I can't find that. And even if this is not where it is, could you move it there? Because I'm going to look there next. You know, things like that. You know, it's kind of frustrating. We seek after whatever we've lost until we find it. Let me tell you, Jesus seeks after the lost. He has no desire for anybody to go to hell. What probably one of the worst things you can say is that to anyone is go to hell. You know, I know what that's talking about. That's talking about separation from God. And we should not wish hell on anybody. You see, Jesus came to seek the lost. He's seeking after you if you've never trusted him as Savior. He's even seeking your heart tonight. Second, Jesus came to save the lost. And that same verse, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save. Now, a lot of times we throw words out like save. We're saved. What are we saved from? Well, we're saved from our sin. We're saved from the consequences of our sin. We're saved from going to hell. We're saved from a lot of things, and he came to do that, and he came to personally save each one of us. I really believe, I've heard it said all my life, I really do believe it, that if you were the only person that needed salvation, or if I was the only person that needed salvation, Jesus would have still come and died upon the cross. Third, Jesus came to speak to the lost. You know, during his earthly ministry, he spent a lot of time teaching and preaching to people around him and telling them he's the Messiah, convincing them, telling them how to live for God and all that. So much so that the religious leaders called him a friend of publicans and sinners. You know, you're a friend of tax collectors. We hate them and sinners. But Jesus loved people so much, he wanted to speak to them. Now, in the form of the Holy Spirit, he speaks to our heart. And let me tell you, if the Holy Spirit isn't working on your heart, there's no need to come down the aisle. You're just wasting your time. But the Holy Spirit, as the third part of the Trinity, speaks to our heart and says, hey, you know, I kind of use the analogy, kind of like beats on your heart. Say, hey, you need to be saved. You need to be saved. And I'm glad that Jesus came to speak to the lost, and in the form of his Holy Spirit, he still speaks to us today when we need salvation. This morning, part two, Jesus came for the lost. The next point that we looked at, Jesus came to scrub the lost, to scrub the lost. I'm glad he didn't leave me the way I was. I'm glad that he cleaned me up. And can you imagine, there's a whole lot of people that needs cleaned up. And there's a whole, we need cleaning up every day, don't you think? But I'm thankful that in salvation that Jesus came to scrub the lost. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18, come now and let us reason together, the Bible says, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. So isn't that something? Our sins are like scarlet, red. But when we get saved, God cleans them up and they become white. So I'm thankful that Jesus came to scrub the lost and to clean us up, even of our sins and of our guilt and of our shame. He cleans us up of those things. Now, we're not perfect. You'll hear me say that quite often. We're not perfect, but we are forgiven and we are saved. And God saves us and scrubs us whenever we come to him in salvation. The second point from this morning, Jesus came to soothe the lost. S-O-O-T-H-E, soothe, or to encourage or to bless the lost. So many people get the wrong impression of what Christianity is. Well, if I get saved, I got to give this up and that up and that up, and I go around with my hands folded like this and just go, all day. No, that's not Christianity. True Christianity and being saved is the most blessed life there is. To know that God is in your life and that the Holy Spirit lives inside of you and he gives us direction through the Word of God. I'm thankful for that, aren't you? So it's really the most blessed life of all. We talked about several things that God gives to the lost once they get saved. He gives them rest. He gives them peace. He gives them joy. He gives them purpose. And he gives them victory. I'm thankful for that, aren't you? But Jesus came to soothe or to encourage or to bless the lost. We're going to cover, if we can, three things that Jesus came for the lost to do. It's actually point number six if you're taking notes. Point number six in this message number three. Now I've got you totally confused. But Jesus came to seal and secure the lost. Jesus came to seal and secure the lost who are saved. If you turn in your Bibles or look at the monitor, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. Now this is good. Don't you think people want to feel secure in life? You know, I've been taught a big part of my life, and I really believe there's some truth in it. We all desire security. Women in particular, and this is, God has made men and women different. This is not a criticism, because men crave significance, which I believe is true. You know, you want to achieve, you want to be a good worker, you want to have some things at least. But ladies like security. Even they crave that more than men. I guess we macho men think we got it handled. And again, that's not a criticism, it's just an observation. But if you crave security and you're not saved, you're missing the greatest security you could ever have. You see, you are in the hand of God. You are in the hand of God if you're a child of his, and he knows everything about you, but he loves you anyway, and you're right there, and nothing can take you out of God's hand. I'm thankful for that, aren't you? Ephesians chapter 1. Now, the Bible to me could not be clearer about the security of someone who is lost, who has been saved. You know, there's some people that say, oh, I'm a Christian, but they're not. Some people make the profession with their mouth, but it's never been a true conversion in their heart. And that messes with people that don't believe in eternal security sometimes. They're like, ah, see, look at them, look at them. I think a lot of times the problem is they never were saved in the first place. But someone who is truly saved, I've said this for 100 years, it seems like, in ministry. I haven't quite been doing it that long, but it seems kind of long sometimes. I've been doing this a while, and it's never been a problem for me to refute people that do not believe in eternal security. Because the Bible is so clear. I mean, it is. It's not, to me, it's not even a gray area. It's not even one tick back to say, oh, I don't know about it. I mean, it's like, yeah, absolutely. Let's just look at God's Word, what God's Word says. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. It's talking about people that are saved, in whom ye also trusted Jesus, after that ye heard the word of the truth, word of truth, what's that? The gospel of your salvation. So if you trusted in that gospel, guess what? In whom after that ye believed, you were what? Sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest or the guarantee down payment of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. You know, he's worthy of praise, and part of the reason he's worthy to praise is because we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. And it says, until the redemption of the purchased possession. I suppose that's talking about when we get to heaven. Because that's when it's all, we're in the presence of God, everything's good, the old sin nature is gone. But this tells me that I am sealed with the Holy Spirit. I am sealed. Now, is the Holy Spirit God? Yeah, absolutely. You got God the Father, you got God the Son, and you got God the Holy Spirit. So if God says he's going to seal me, I think I'm sealed, don't you? But that's not the only place it says it. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, look at verses 20 to 22. I like this. I backed up to verse 20 because I like what it says. It says, for all the promises of God in him, in Christ, are yea. You know, rather than him haul around, if Christ said it or if it's a promise from God, you can count on it because it's yes, yes. The promise is yes. It says, and in him, amen. You know what amen means? Don't you so be it. Unto the glory of God by us. Now he which establishes us with you is in Christ and hath anointed us is God. So who sent Jesus? God did. And who are we restored in relationship to? God the Father through Jesus the Son, right? But listen, here it says, who hath also sealed us and give us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. It's interesting, in Ephesians it says we were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, but in verse 22 it talks about God has sealed us. I mean, they're all one, right? But the emphasis was on the Spirit. Here the emphasis is on God and given us the earnest of his Spirit in our hearts. Again, that guarantee, that down payment that we are saved. Now, what part of that is kind of like, I don't get that. I mean, it's like, yeah, right there it is, right? Did I lose somebody on that? Do we need to have a talk after church? But that's not all. Look at John chapter 10, and this is just scratching the surface, believe me. I could make a very, 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 very strong multi-point argument on why once you're truly saved, you're saved and sealed for eternity. But John 10, 27 to 30 says, my sheep hear my voice, words of Jesus here, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them, what kind of life? Eternal life. That's pretty good, isn't it? And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. This is Jesus talking. Once you're in the hands of Jesus, nobody's going to take you out of the hands of Jesus. And then it goes on to say, my Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. So when you're in Jesus' hand, anybody got a quarter? Anybody got a quarter in their pocket? 50-cent piece? Gold piece. Anybody got a gold piece? You may or may not get this back. All right, you want to throw it at me? Okay, all right. All right, I'll settle for a quarter. That's what it is. I mean, it's really like this. That's the way my preacher back in Chattanooga demonstrated it. This is when you're saved, you are in Jesus' hand. I don't know. Can any of y'all open Jesus' hand? I don't think so. And then basically what beyond that, you're in God's hand. So you got Jesus, you got God the Son. We're told that we're sealed with the Holy Spirit. Now, who is it that's going to be able to get you out of God's hand and make you lost again? Not a soul, nobody. It says no man, and I know, people say, no man can, but I can take myself out of God. Seems like to me you have a too high opinion of your power. Because if you're truly born again, you cannot lose your salvation. You cannot lose your salvation. Thank you, Connie. I appreciate that. But you know what? The security that we have in Jesus, I mean, do you realize what man can do to me? And do you realize what man can do to you? I mean, he can take everything near and dear to you away. He can take all your possessions. They can take your family. They can even take your life. But one thing, by golly, they cannot take is your soul, because it's sealed with the Holy Spirit. I'm thankful for that. That gives me a security. When things go bad, I can look up and say, well, guess what? I'll be there anytime. You know? Because I am secure and sealed by God. I mean, to me, that's not just a little side note. I mean, that's primary. After all, he says, I give them eternal life. And even the most, and I don't know, I would like for someone who feels opposite of this to explain this. How in the world can John 3:16 promise everlasting life if you believe it? I mean, it's not everlasting if you got it and you lose it and you got it and you lose it and you got it and you lose it. You may lose your car keys four times a day, but you're not going to lose your salvation, because God's in charge of that. And if it's everlasting life, it's everlasting life. And it's from the point, you know, people say, well, someday we'll have everlasting life. That's not true. I have everlasting life right now. The point that I got saved back in, let's see, what time, what day, what year was that? Let's see, 1974. I was 11 years old. From that point on, when I trusted Jesus, I had and still have and will continue to have and will be with God in heaven eternal life. Everlasting life. I'm thankful for that. Jesus came to seal and secure the lost. So if you're here tonight or you're listening in and you say, I'm lost, I'd encourage you to be saved. It'll give you security that you never thought you'd have. You know, on Route 23, they put a bunch of reflectors in, sometimes around the curves. That's about the time they put all those crazy signs up. Man, if I listened to, now this is going to be bad, confessions of a preacher. They put all kind of these yellow signs up. Now, how many of you know that there's curves in the roads of West Virginia, right? I mean, it's not like rocket science. There's curves. So just be ready and drive like you know what you're doing. And they put all these signs up. And I think one of the curves real close to where Joe lives, I think they have gone 5 miles an hour. You're hardly moving at 5 miles an hour. I remember they used to be these yellow signs that gave you, they were pretty close. I mean, they really were. They was like, yeah, that's about what I need to be doing. All right. But some, I don't know where they come from. Maybe they were flatlanders that had all straight roads. But they came in and determined what speed we're supposed to go around these curves. And they're crazy. But at the same time they did that, I'm totally off point. The same time, if I followed those 5 mile an hour, those 10 mile, it would take me an hour and a half to get back to Doddridge County. It's ridiculous. Maybe not quite. That's a slight exaggeration. Can you tell this is an issue near and dear to my heart? But they put reflectors up about that same time, and it was pretty cool to watch. The best I remember, they come, and they got this little thing, and it zzzz. You know, Tim probably maybe know all about this. You know, dips, makes a hole in the middle of the road, and then they put epoxy. epoxy of some sort, a glue of some sort, and then they plop that reflector right in there. And believe me, we got some on one of our vans, and it won't come off. So once it's in there, it's secure. That reflector is not likely going to come off unless the road falls apart or something. You know, I'm thankful that we're not going to lose our salvation. We are sealed and we are secure, not because of our own merit, not because of our own keeping, but we're sealed and secure because of the power of God. Next point tonight, actually point number 7 overall. Jesus came to stand with the lost. Jesus came to stand with the lost. Who becomes saved, that is. You know, I've spent some time talking about these verses in the past recently, so I'm not going to say a whole lot. In John 15, verses 13 to 15, when I'm going to read it, but he calls us friends. That's good, right? In John chapter 20, verse 17, he calls us brethren. You see, God is on our side. Hello? Is that not a good idea? Not a good point? God is on our side. I'm thankful that he is my biggest fan. Really, he is. He's cheering us on. He wants the best for us. And sometimes we're so boneheaded, we don't follow what he wants us to do and make a mess out of things. But Jesus, our Savior, is cheering us on. And I'm thankful for that. You know, we tell our boys quite often that, you know, we're your biggest fans. And we are. If you're a parent worth your weight in salt, you're your kid's biggest fans. You want them to succeed. Why should our Heavenly Father be any different? Why should our Savior Jesus be any different? He's standing up for us. He's cheered us on. In Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27, notice what they're doing in standing up for us. They're interceding for us before the Heavenly Father. This verse talks about the Holy Spirit. These two verses says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. It says, our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. It says, and he that searches the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Do you know what that's saying? Our go-between, when we pray, in the strictest sense, when we pray, we are praying to God the Father. But you know who our prayers are going through? This says the Holy Spirit in particular, right, is taking our prayers and interceding for us. And then the next verse talks about Jesus being our intercessor. In Romans chapter 8, verse 34, notice this. It says, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. You know, I'm thankful that once we get saved, we have someone standing for us, standing up for us, right there with us. And when we pray, the Holy Spirit is taking our prayers, and sometimes we don't know how to pray. I mean, sometimes life is a little perplexing, isn't it? And you're like, God, I really don't quite know how to pray this. You know, I know what my heart thinks I'd like to see happen, but I don't specifically know how to put it into words. And you know, then you know what happened? Boom, shakalaka. The Holy Spirit takes it right to God the Father. It says with groanings that cannot be uttered, and says, hey, Heavenly Father, this is what they need. You know, brings our prayer. And guess what? Jesus does the same thing. He's at the right hand of the Father, so it's not like it's long distance between him and the Son. The Son says, hey, that's my child down there. Hey, he needs some help. Right? I mean, they work together. I don't want to make it sound like one is for us and another's against. They're all for us. But isn't it good news to know that Jesus stands up for us once we're saved? I mean, it's amazing to have someone stand up for you. You know, there's a whole lot of people in this world that feels like there's not a single soul in this world that loves them. There's not a single soul in this world that would stand up for them. You know what? We ought to be shouting on the rooftop saying, you know what? I know somebody that's for you. I know somebody that loves you supremely. I know someone who will stand up for you when nobody else can. And I'm thankful that once we know Jesus, in particular, he stands up for us. And even the Holy Spirit does. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 17 and 18 says, "Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest." Talking about Jesus in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted, or encourage us, or to support us when we go through things. You know, the reason Jesus came was to die upon the cross, but in the process, he got to understand us a whole lot better because he's been through a lot. He knows we go through a lot, and he is there standing up for us. Isn't that great news? I don't care if your best friend turns his back on you and knifes you in the back. I've had some people knife me in the back. It's no fun. People that kind of like, really? Are you kidding me? You know, someone that you're close to or you trust or they trust you, and you've been through a lot of trials and problems and tribulations. But let me tell you, the Lord Jesus will never knife you in the back. He'll never betray you. He'll never turn away from you. He is your biggest fan. He came to stand with the lost who are saved. And that's me. I was lost, but now I'm found. Last point, number 8. Jesus came to share with the lost who are saved. Jesus came to share with the lost who become saved. You said, what are you talking about, share? Do you realize that I'm going to share a wonderful future with my Jesus, with my Savior, throughout all the eons of time? You know, I think I've said this before. You this won't be new news to you, but one of the best things about heaven, we can throw our watches away. I'm not going to throw it away because it's not an expensive watch, and I'm afraid it might fall apart. But probably not. But I don't want to hurt it. I don't want to damage it. We can take the clocks off the wall. We can even take the calendars. If anybody still have an old hard copy of a calendar. We can throw these things away with all sometimes our schedules and the weather. Guess what? Because the weather's all good. You know, just look at the heavenly forecast. You know, if they have one of those great big boards like they have in nursing homes. You know, today is sunny. Today, every day you look at this board, it's going to be, today is great. Temperature perfect. Aren't you thankful for that? And Jesus came for the lost so that you and I could share that future with him. And it's an everlasting future. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. It doesn't end. You know, so many things in this life, you're like, man, I wish I could do that. You know, I there's several things I'd like to do in life, but I done figured it out. I don't think it's going to happen. I don't got enough life left. But you know what? In heaven, we're not going to be on a time schedule. And we're not going to be in any hurry. And I think we can sit down. I mean, I think a lot of what we're going to be worshiping and praising the Lord. But remember, we got a brand new earth down here. This earth is going to burn up. That's what the Bible says. It's going to burn up, melt with a fervent heat. But we're going to have a brand new earth. I think we're going to get to enjoy that earth. I really do. And I think we can sit down and, you know, some things that we didn't get a chance to discuss in this life, we can sit down and guess what? I think we could sit down with the Apostle Paul and say, hey, tell me about a few of those things there that happened to you. We can sit down with Daniel and say, Daniel, tell us about that there lion's den. Now, did you really use one of the lions as a pillow? You know, I've been wondering that. You know, things like that. Because Jesus came for the lost so that we could share eternity with him. My goodness, this life is tough. This life is short. This life is fragile. I'm thankful that my future is not fragile at all. My future is secure. I know where I'm going to spend eternity. John chapter 14, verses 2 and 3. Listen to this. In my Father's house are many mansions. Now, do not try to take my mansions out of my Bible and say, this is just dwelling places. No. If it says mansion, I believe it's a mansion. And if Jesus went to prepare it some 2,000 years ago, I believe it's nice, don't you? Mansion. says, if it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Wow. Think about that. Where Jesus is where we're going to be, because he came to share with the lost who come to know Jesus. I don't know. Now, don't criticize me for using a secular term, but I don't know a better deal anywhere than trusting the Lord Jesus as your Savior. I mean, you give him your old rotten heart and your old rotten life and all the sins and the guilt and the shame, and you trade it for peace and joy and security and purpose and a wonderful, wonderful future that Jesus wants to share with us. You know, obviously Jesus wants to spend time with us, don't you think? We're called in Romans 8, verses 16 and 17, joint heirs with Christ. Joint heirs with Christ. And lastly, and as far as references, Revelation 21, 3. This is really good. It says, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. What's that saying? God's going to be with us. Wow. And God includes God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, right? It says, is with men and he will dwell, what? Dwell with them. Wow. And they shall be his people and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Wow. You know, now we live by faith. But someday we're going to see all this. You know, we're going to experience all this if we've trusted the Lord as your Savior. I'm glad that Jesus came to share with the lost who are saved. Have you ever been, like, say, to a restaurant or something, or maybe fast food? It doesn't have to be fancy, but I'm really a sucker for those commercials where they show you what this burger's supposed to look like. And, you know, they do that for a reason. I'm like, man, that looks good. Amy, I'm going to have to order that next time I'm in. And you order it, it's never. I mean, I don't know what happened. What happened? They completely changed my burger, and it's squished down like this, about that thick, and the burger's about that thin. You know, like, what happened to the picture on the commercial? Does anybody else do that? You'll make me feel better if you do, okay? But have you ever ordered something and it sounds good to you and you get it and your good friend or your spouse or something orders something else and you're sitting there eating what you ordered and it's like, man, this is very, very disappointing. And at the same time, your good friend or best friend or your wife is over there saying, ha, ha, this is really good. You know, and you just kind of want to crawl under the table or something and just, but you know, some of the sweetest words you can hear. I'll share. You know, that's for an old rotten sinner like me, that's good news coming from God. I'll share. You can spend eternity with me. Jesus came for the lost. You know, as we opened with the idea of parties and people coming because you're special and you know, the reason Jesus came was for the lost, because we are special to him. Jesus came tonight, we looked at, Jesus came to seal and secure the lost who get saved. Do you want a true security in life? Do you want a true security in life? Whether you're home listening to this by live stream or here tonight, do you really want a true security? The only way to get a true security in life is by trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And you say, well, how do you do that? Maybe you say, well, how do you do that? It bugs the dickens out of me when preachers beat all around the bush and say, you just got to trust Jesus. You got to trust Jesus. I mean, I like to be as specific as I can. I've been to funerals, and they're kind of nice and flowery, but they don't say anything about how I can trust the Lord as Savior. You know, we got to recognize we're sinners. You know, in need of a Savior. I've said quite often, if you don't recognize... I can't get you saved. Now, I'm not saving you, but I can't lead you over the finish line if you don't realize you're lost. We're all sinners, and we cannot take our sin to heaven. The Bible says for all have sinned, right? We looked at that earlier. All have sinned to come short of the glory of God. So to be saved, you got to recognize you're a sinner in need of salvation. And then the Bible says about belief in John 3:16, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The Bible over in Romans says, guess what? That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart. Did you catch that? Shalt believe in thine heart. Thou shalt be saved. And then it says, as it goes on, for with the heart man believeth unto salvation, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I may have got that a little quoted backwards. But the idea is you got to confess the Lord Jesus as your Savior. It's real simple. Admit you're a sinner and ask Him to forgive you. Believe that Jesus Christ was exactly who the Bible says He was, the Son of God, who died upon the cross to pay for our sins and resurrected back to life, conquered death. And we need to confess Jesus Christ as our Savior. You know, a lot of people want to complicate that. You know, I've known kids, little kids, that have been saved. Our boys were both saved younger in life. It's not rocket science. It was never intended to be rocket science. It's a simple salvation. And the Bible says very clearly we cannot work our way to heaven. It's simply by putting our faith and trust in Jesus, asking Him to save us, asking Him to forgive us, and confessing Jesus as my Savior, as my Lord. If you've not done that, let me encourage you. If you want true security in life, be saved tonight. Jesus came to stand with the lost who get saved. Do you want a true friend and brother and a merciful and faithful high priest or an intercessor with the Father? Be saved tonight. Be saved tonight. And lastly tonight, we looked at Jesus came to share with the lost who get saved. Do you want to share eternal life in heaven with Jesus? If you can't answer that yes, my goodness. I mean, remember this morning I talked about winning a double showcase? Add that to the list of prizes that we get once we trust the Lord as Savior. If you want to share eternal life in heaven, the only way to get there. I was disappointed. I was watching a Western the other day, and one of the main characters on the Western, I'm not going to ruin it for you, but said, you know, oh, well, we respect all religions and all paths lead to the Father or something like that. I'm like, no, it doesn't. This is one of those old, old black and white Western. I'm like, what in the world? But that's what the world thinks. You know, there's many paths, just be sincere. That's not what God's Word tells us. Do you want to share eternal life in heaven with Jesus? Be saved tonight. If you're here tonight and you're saved again, I just put a great big smile on your face and say, I'm so thankful that I know Jesus. I am so thankful for all the things He does for me. I'm so thankful that this world is not all that is. And I'd be praying for those that might be listening in tonight. You know, the devil doesn't like it when the gospel is shared. I'm not convinced that that's the reason our live stream didn't work this morning. The devil is just fighting us because the message needs to get out about how to be truly saved. But we went end around with the old devil. We still got the audio of it. So if someone's listened to it, it's out there. But I thought I'd read this story. Pretty good picture of salvation, I believe. And then I'm done. It says, an old Indian chief constantly spoke of the Lord Jesus and what He meant to him. An old Indian chief. Why do you talk so much about Jesus? Asked a friend. The old chief did not reply, but slowly, deliberately gathered some sticks and bits of grass. He made a circle of them. In the circle of sticks and grass, he placed a caterpillar. He placed a caterpillar. Still silent, he struck a match and lit the sticks and grass. They watched the caterpillar. As the fire caught around the circle, the trapped caterpillar began to crawl around rapidly, seeking a way to escape. As the fire advanced, the helpless caterpillar raised its head as high as it could. If the creature could have spoken, it would probably have said, "My help can only come from above." Then the old chief stooped down. He extended his long finger to the caterpillar, which crawled up his finger in safety. That, said the chief, glowing, was what the Lord Jesus did for me. I was lost in sin. My condition was hopeless. I was trapped. Then the Lord Jesus stooped down in love and mercy, and he drew me out of the horrible pit of sin and shame. How can I help but love him and talk of his wondrous love and care? And to that I say, amen. Amen. If you would bow your head and close your eyes for just a moment. You know, if you're here tonight and you've never ever trusted the Lord Jesus as your Savior, I really do not believe that there's a better place than right here to trust the Lord Jesus as your Savior tonight. You don't have to have the bondage of saying, I'm not saved, and you don't have the bondage of saying, I'm not sure whether I'm saved, because you can nail that down. I've said that term for years and years. You can nail down your salvation. If there's any doubt in your heart and mind that you meant it when you came forward, maybe when you were 13 or 14 or 18 or 26 or whatever, you can come forward tonight. And I'll pray with you. And you can nail that thing down. And you can say, I can leave this place. I know that I'm saved because I did exactly what the Bible tells me to do. You may be here tonight and you say, preacher, I don't have to question about whether I'm saved or not. I know I'm not saved. But I feel the Holy Spirit working on my heart. I feel that urge that I need to come forward and do something. I'd encourage you, don't hesitate. Don't worry about what other people think. You just listen to God, because your eternal soul, the place that you're going to spend eternity, could be determined by the decision you make right now. And if there's anyone listening in, I've already mentioned to you how to be saved. I'd encourage you, would you do that right now wherever you are? If you feel God working on your heart and you need to do something and you realize you're lost, would you say, God, please save me. Forgive me of my sins. I believe Jesus was exactly who the Bible said he was. Born of a virgin, lived a perfect life, died upon the cross, and resurrected and conquered death. And would you say and mean all this from your heart, I now confess Jesus as my Savior. Can I tell you that God will bless you? God will change you. God will clean up your life. God will give you a purpose for living. I'd encourage you, wherever you are, if you're lost tonight, to do that very thing. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word and the clarity of your word. And we thank you, Lord, that you look at us, your creation, that's special. Humans are special to you. And Lord, we thank you that you sent Jesus for us. Lord, I pray that you'll speak to hearts. May we that know that we're saved according to the word of God, Lord, help us to be so grateful for all that you've done for us. And Lord, if there's anyone here tonight who's lost, I pray that as we sing, Lord, that they may come forward and say, preacher, I want to be saved. I want to nail it down. I want to know for sure that I'm saved. And Lord, we can do that very thing tonight. We just praise you, Lord, for Jesus making a way for us to go to heaven. We just thank you for that. And if there's anyone listening in, Lord, I pray that they will indeed be saved tonight by calling out to you in prayer. Lord, we commit this time to you now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.